Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews the 12th chapter, and we'll begin reading at verse 5, Hebrews 12 and verse 5. How could a Mother's Day go by without us talking about spankings, right? No. Chastening, Hebrews 12 and verse 5. The Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend in your word, and I pray that you will give me your power, and pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us, each of us, in our own way, Lord, whatever way we need you to speak to us. I pray you'll do that individually and corporately, and God, that your will be done by the end of this service. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I like verse 5, you know, it says, ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. It's like we have told our children over and over, now don't be upset that you're getting this spanking. You know, we love you. It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Remember, we've said all those things, right? But very, very clearly, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him, because he loves us. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so I want to talk to you about that. It's a good Mother's or Father's Day message, really, talking about chastening. And I want to remind you that chastening is an act of love. It's an act of love. I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm not talking about parents that really they're the ones that ought to be chastened, amen, because they're just angry and throwing their own temper tantrum. And I'm talking about chastening, Bible chastening, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, very, very clearly, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It is Bible. It is a Bible truth, this thing of chastening. Now, you'd never know it because so many religions today really resist the truth of chastening, don't want to talk about it. They recoil at the idea of there being a real hell and that people go to a place called hell. They have God pictured as some sort of a sappy Santa Claus kind of a person, and so chastening is kind of left out. Nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Well, because it's not fun. You ask a child, now you just got a spanking. Was that fun? They don't. It's not fun. Somebody says, well, you know, nowadays it's time out. To me, time out would have been fun. But anytime Dad got the red paddle out, that was never fun. I never found anything fun about the red paddle. Time out. That would have been go to your room. Oh, I'd have loved it back in those days. Had all my toys there. Had candy there. We had won a remote control television set. Remember remote control where all it did was turn it off and on and change channels and volume. And it had a clicker that went click. I mean, it actually made the click noise. And that would have been a wonderful thing. But Dad, they didn't do that. Dad, they had this the red paddle. And the red paddle, unfortunately, was out often in our house, and my sister needed it a lot. She really did. But it's not fun. So therefore, it's kind of, the modern-day religion, doesn't want to do anything unless it's fun. We have to entertain everybody. We have to make everybody happy. We have to make everything warm and fuzzy. And the belief is that God wants us to have fun, and he only gives us blessings and warm and fuzzy things, and you just always feel so good. And anything unpleasant must come from somewhere else. No, no, no. So really, to the modern religion today, the very thought of chastening is repulsive, but the Bible's very, very clear. Chastening means God loves you. Chastening means your parents love you. Chastening, and I mean when it's done right, when it's done to teach, when it's done as discipline, It's because somebody cares about you and they want you to turn out right and to get on the right path. And the Bible is very, very clear. It is an act of love. The Bible says in verse 7, it says, "What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" You know, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, is this really your son? What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? What kind of relationship is there? I mean, if a dad doesn't chasten his son, what's that saying about the father's relationship to his son? And so we should expect our God to chasten us. Proverbs 13, verse 24. And keep your place in Hebrews. I just want to, again, because it is Mother's Day and we do like to talk about the home. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that is missing in our homes today is chastening. It's missing in so many homes. We have become gun-shy. We've become afraid. We've become so afraid of what the rest of the world is saying and what the psychologists are saying. We've become afraid because of political correctness, and we're missing out on something God says is a proof to your child that you love your child. Chasten. Proverbs 13, verse 24. The Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Now, again, chasten, the word chasten doesn't mean just beat on him. You know, you say, "Well, I read that verse and you know, I owe my kids some." That's not how it works. I found out something today. We were eating with David and Angela, and Angela said something David did. They got in a fight one time, and I was never told about it. And my wife, they were talking, they were all kind of laughing about it back when they were like 5 and 10 years old or something. And David was beating her up and everything. And I asked her, I said, "Angela," I said, "you want me to spank him now?" She said, "No, let him off." But, and you know, compassion. But the truth is, you know, it's a good question. What kind of father doesn't chasten his child? What kind of parent doesn't chasten their children? Well, the Bible says it's a parent that doesn't love them. I know it's not popular. I know that goes over like a lead balloon in our day. By the way, the other thing that goes over like a lead balloon, you know, there's a lot of things that are politically correct that you and I get upset about, but this is one we ought to get upset about too. Amen. It's the same thing. I mean, I don't know about you. I was a little upset because we're making a big deal out of a homosexual guy getting selected for a football team, and we think that's wonderful. And over again, we watch the guy kissing his male partner, and everybody, "Oh, this is the greatest thing. Oh, this is so good. Oh, hey, we ought to get upset about some things." And this is something, I'll be honest with you, we need to get upset, because I'm watching people nowadays, and I'm not telling you you ought to deal with them in the store. And you know, it's never been a thing you ought to deal with necessarily in the store. It always should be something between a parent and their child, and dealt with love and wanting to teach a lesson so that child does what they're supposed to do. Amen. I'll amen myself. Proverbs 13 again, in verse 24, "He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Again, don't make up for lost time, but it's time we deal with stuff. It's time we deal with stuff. It's time that we provide the proper discipline. Discipline is teaching. The word disciple, Jesus had disciples. Why? Because he was discipling. He was teaching them. We talk about discipleship in our church, and that's when somebody gets saved, we need to disciple them. And you and I need to disciple our children, and part of that discipleship is chastening. God has to disciple us, and part of that discipleship is chastening. You are what you are. We have godly parents all over this room. We have godly people all over this room. You would not be that way had you not somewhere along the line ran into the rod of God, or it ran into you. Amen. Discipline is teaching. It's correcting error. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Proverbs 23 and verse 13. "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Hello? Yeah. Well, you say, "Preacher, I mean, that's pretty harsh." I didn't write it. God did, but I think he knows what he's talking about. Huh? They sound like they're going to die. Isn't it amazing they sound like they're going to die before you ever even touch them? My kids figured that out. I had that figured out. All right, just cool it, you know. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. I didn't write it. God did, but that's pretty good instruction, isn't it? Huh? You say, well, I believe in soul winning. Good, spank your kids. When they do wrong, use what God says to use. Thou and you shall deliver his soul from hell. Amen. Notice Proverbs 22, verse 15. Kids are all cringing. I wish he'd get off this. Especially people like Darren. Oh, he's a man. That's right. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Hey, we just know yourself. You were a child once. Remember when foolishness was bound in you? Amen. I know they're sweet. All these three little children up here, I can't imagine any of them ever sinning. Right? Especially Isabella. I mean, you know, she was just talking this morning. She was just fellowshipping with us. But I can't imagine these kids ever. Actually, Landon, he's just was quiet, didn't say a word, just kind of asleep at my voice, pretty much like a lot of you are. No, but Sam, I mean, just kicking his legs and all, except waving at everybody. You know, the politician. You know, amen. But you know, but that foolishness, that sinfulness, that desire to do wrong. You know, it's in every one of us. And you know, as when they're children, we gotta drive that out and do the best we can. And it's with a loving hand. It's with a loving hand holding the rod, as the Bible says. And it's so important to get that foolishness out of them. Why? Because we want them to do right. It says the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And then Proverbs 29, verse 15, and I'm afraid this is what's happening. And it's happening in Christian homes. It breaks my heart. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I'm afraid what we're doing today is we're just leaving the kids to themselves. And we're just kind of letting them dictate what all goes on in life. And that is not God's plan. And it doesn't work. And it never will work. It never will work. And so we have very clearly a scripture backing up the idea of a parent chastening, disciplining their child and their children. And that if you don't do it, there's a strong idea you're not loving your child. Now, I'm not talking about the warm and fuzzy feeling you have toward them. I'm talking about the obedience to love. Love is action. And the action, God says, is it is up to us to train up a child in the way he should go. And part of that training is when they disobey, there's punishment. Amen. All right. There's punishment. And so that brings me to the message as far as all of us whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And you know what? As we continue in this pattern and we keep going in this direction to let our kids just do whatever they want to do and not deal with it, and we start thinking we expect that from God. And we recoil at the idea, well, God would never chasten. I mean, God, but God does chasten. God's word says he does. And so several things I want to show you tonight. I'll go quickly. Number one is the origin of chastening. And the Bible's very clear. It says the chastening of the Lord in verse 5. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, the origin of chastening. It wasn't man that came up with the idea. It wasn't man that created. It wasn't man that wrote a book and God said, well, I'll just read this and maybe I can learn how to rear my kids. No, it was God that came up with the idea. It is of the Lord to correct those that are going the wrong direction. By the way, that is a loving thing to do. And anytime you see somebody going the wrong direction, you ought to tell them, hey, wait a minute, you're going the wrong direction. Certainly we need to do that with our children. Certainly we need to do that with those that we care about. Surely we would do that with a new convert. And it just makes sense that our God is going to do the same thing. It is of the Lord to correct us, and he knows what's best. By the way, children, more likely your parents know what's best for you too. They probably know what's best for you. You know, I know, especially, you know, depending on the age, you've got it all figured out, but they've already been where you're going. And so, but every Christian here ought to understand, he knows what's best for us. And chastening is simply, sometimes a swat to get me back on the right path. Sometimes a swat to turn me around because I'm going the wrong way. Just as a correction of a parent or a teacher or any authority, you have to understand, it's to avoid leaving us to ourselves. It's to get away from this idea of leaving us to ourselves. It's like we were praying in men's prayer time, and I believe it was Dale Stewart was praying. And, we see people saved. We need to help them grow because they're a little baby in Christ. Remember when you were a little baby in Christ? You know, you didn't know what to do. I remember my wife and I was a new convert. She'd been saved longer, but I remember walking into church. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what you're supposed to do. Sometimes you stood up to sing, other times you didn't. Every time they stood, I sat, and every time they sat, I stood. I mean, I didn't know what you're supposed to do. I didn't know how this thing worked. I had a lot to learn. I watched people get dunked, and I didn't understand. What in the world is that all about? You know, I didn't understand that kind. And somebody had to help me. And somebody had to chasten me every now and then. And my God did that over and over and over again. Why? Because he didn't want me left to myself. In fact, the Bible says that if a father doesn't do it, he hates him. Sometimes when you get that swat, sometimes when you feel that sting, sometimes when you recognize God's chastening in your life, you need to understand that God is saying, I love you. I love you. The origin of chastening is God. His children he chastens. It's interesting, you know, you have an unsaved person. They seem to get away with all this stuff. You say, I don't get it. Why can they do it and I can't? Why can here's a person doesn't even go to church. That person doesn't read their Bible. They're not even saved. Why are they? They're not getting away with anything. It's just God's not their father. It's kind of like I used to wonder why my dad had the little red, I call it the little red paddle, but it wasn't little. It was huge. It covered a lot of turf. A lot of nerve endings were affected by that thing. But my friends, they got away with stuff. Dad spanked the fire out of me. Did that ever bother you? You know, why do they get to? Well, they have different parents. And the unsaved have a different father. I'm so glad I have my heavenly father. You know, about the time you start griping and complaining, you need to understand you have a home in heaven. And you have a God that loves you so much, he chastens you. You have a God that loves you so much, he pays attention to you, and he cares about you, and he wants you not left to yourself. If you have a parent today that spanks you, maybe you got one today. Several of you probably did. Just right today, don't confess. It's not time to confess. But what you ought to do? You ought to thank your parent. Thank you for loving me that much. Thank you. Amen. I know that's not popular. But we're, look, it's his children. He chastens his children. He doesn't chasten the devil's kids. Verse 6, it says, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He chastens his kids. Notice verse 8, if you be without chastisement, I got away with it. I got away with sin and nothing happened. My Bible says, whereof all are partakers. Is that what the Bible says? The old King James? Every child of God is chastened when they do wrong. Amen. Somewhere along the line, that spanking's going to come. Somewhere along the line, either God's going to convict you and you get right, or if you don't get right, he's going to chasten you. That's just, it's going to happen. You say, not me. I get away with it. Well, my Bible says, then are ye bastards and not sons. And I would be very, very careful the next step you take. I mean that with all my heart. You say, I can sin, get away with it. Nothing ever happens. I'm not convicted. I don't care. I can do my own thing. God doesn't deal with me. I would wonder, am I really a child of God? Because the scripture doesn't lie. And he knows what he's talking about. And chastening comes from God. Oh, listen, today you need to thank God for chastening. You need to thank God. He loves me. It's one of the great proofs of our salvation is the chastening of God. Conviction and chastening, two of the great proofs of our salvation. You say, you know what? Every time I sin, I just feel so bad. That is such a blessing. That is so good. Amen. Oh, I'm tired of feeling bad. No, that's a good thing. It's a good assurance. And you know, I sin and I can't get away with it. It just seems like God's always knocking me upside the head and doing this and doing. Amen. Amen. Number one, the origin of chastening. Number two, the obligation of chastening. Verse 7, it says this, God dealeth with you as with sons. There's an obligation there. He's our Father. He's our Father. That's the first obligation, fatherhood. He's not a deadbeat dad. It's an obligation as a father. He's obligated himself as our Father to deal with us. How many times over and over in Scripture does it talk about us being sons of God, children of God, and it talks about him being our Father? I mean, the very title, it obligates him to deal with our disobedience. Amen. And we do disobey. He is an involved and devoted Father. You know, so many parents today have their own agenda. I am so glad my Heavenly Father doesn't have his own agenda. He has an agenda that keeps an eye on his children. And he watches everything. By the way, he not only knows what we do, he knows what we think. He knows what we're going to do. Praise God. Praise God. The obligation, fatherhood obligates him. What else? Faithfulness, it obligates him. If he ignored sin, if he just ignored it, if he just let it go, like we do, so I don't have time to deal with this. Did you ever tell your kids that? And they're just so happy, you know. Yes, all right. You know? God doesn't ignore it. He's got it all figured out. I know. Yeah, well, you know, I think I've gotten away. You haven't gotten away with anything. There is no way. And if he ignored it, if he neglected to chasten, you know what that is? That's treating you as if you are illegitimate. God's faithful. He's a faithful Father. Amen. Nobody seems very excited. Well, it's because we don't like. I know it's not fun. It's not fun. You know, hey, you know, get saved and you'll just have fun the rest of your life. Fooey on that. That's not how it is. It's battle after battle after battle. It's uphill climb, mountain climb. It's blessings, though. It's great. It's wonderful. There's nothing greater, no greater life. But we have a faithful Father who knows we're his kids. And he knows us. Amen. And verse 8, it says this, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. He never, ever, ever, ever ignores his responsibility as a father to his kids. You know, we've all been frustrated. You know, we've watched kids in the store. We've watched them in the restaurant. We've watched them kind of run things. We've watched that little 8-year-old Throckmorton tell his mom and dad what he's going to do. We've cringed. The hair on our arms has stood up. I started to say on our heads, and mine is standing up. Somebody told me today I need a haircut. And, you know, and we've seen it. We've cringed when little Wildersmere kicks his mom, you know, and we just kind of watch and we think, ooh. Oh, I don't know where the name came from, but I dare anyone to have a child and name it Wildersmere. By the way, LeFevers, she is in very hard labor. They're excited. Things are happening. May have already happened. I don't know why I said that, but we're just thinking about children. And, you know, God's responsibility, he never, ever, ever ignores it. And he's faithful. You don't have to be frustrated with God. You say, well, I know a Christian getting away with something. They're not. Listen to me. They're not. They're not. Okay, you don't know what their nights are like. And you don't know what their life's like. And by the way, it's none of your business. You know what? If God is chastening Tim, that's not my business. If God is chastening Brother Wilbar, that's not my business. That's between a father and his son. Just like we never invited the neighbors over and say, "Hey, we're spanking our kids tonight. You want to watch?" We never did that. You don't do that. It's not anybody's business. If God is dealing with Steve Poor, I don't have to know what's going on. It has nothing to do with me. Amen. But He's faithful. You quit worrying about everybody else. You understand when God's getting the paddle out for you. Amen. My parents used to tell me, you know, I was always trying to remind them about all the sins of my sister. You know how it is. I mean, constantly I'm trying to tell them, look what she did. She did this. She did. Sometimes, you know, I made things up that she did. Anyway, but I know you never did that. But the fact of the matter is, with God, you don't have to. He's got it under control. He doesn't ignore His responsibility. And so His fatherhood obligates Him. His faithfulness obligates Him. The future obligates Him. He cares more than anybody about our future. I know we don't believe that. I know we struggle with that so much. He cares more than anybody. In verse 10, it says this, that we might be partakers of His glory, His holiness. It says, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, talking about our parents, but He for our profit. He cares. He cares about our future, our profit. The right kind of discipline to teach us. Not Him throwing a fit. Not out of anger. Not, "I'll show you." That isn't how God deals with us. God as a loving Father deals with us where He wants to teach us what's right. He wants to show us that there are always consequences of sin. Didn't He tell us the wages of sin is death? Well, it only makes sense that a loving father would do everything he can to keep us away from that, right? Come on, you had poisonous things in your house and different kinds of sprays and cleaners and everything else, and you didn't put them in the kitchen cabinet and tell the kids, "Now, you know, everything in the cabinet's good for you." You locked all that stuff away. Why? Because it's dangerous. God does the same thing. And when your child gets near that thing, no! No, you won't do that. No. And why? Because you love Him. God has a future goal for every one of us. That's His will for our lives. And, great question in verse 9. "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" That's a great question. What's your answer? Number one is the origin of chastening. Number two, the obligation of chastening. You know, I always knew when I was being chastened. Sometimes somebody says, "Pastor, how will I know if God's chastening me?" How did you know when your parents were? Well, because where I sit down was very sore. Amen. I got news for you. You'll know when God's chastening you. And here's how you know. Because you did something unacceptable. And we know when we do something unacceptable. Sometimes we're just reaping what we sow. You know, it's not like we did something sinful or something like that. We just reap what we sow. And that can be good, that can be not so good. But when you do something that is unacceptable, and all of a sudden we know when our Father is chastening us. And when my parents chastened me, there were a couple times, honestly, there were a couple times that I really wasn't guilty. But there were a whole bunch of times I was guilty and I never got caught. So I think it always made up for it. But there could be that rare unjust time with a human. But I got news for you. With God, chastening's never unjust. It's always warranted. He knows what we do. He knows what we think. Amen. Number three is the objective of chastening. The objective. See, instead of asking why, and this is why is this happening? Okay, instead of asking why, how about this? God, what are you teaching me? What? Again, I'm not talking about warm and fuzzy Christianity. I'm talking about real Bible Christianity, where a loving God chastens His children. And you know, we have so many today, well, why did this? Why did that? God doesn't. Listen to me. Listen to me. It's time to say, God, what do you want me to learn? What can I learn? What are you teaching me from this? This is the thing with discipline. It's teaching. You don't spank to hurt. You spank to teach. Oh, it hurts. It does hurt. But you're teaching. The objective, priority, first of all. In verse 9, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh. We understand that, which corrected us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather, see it? Much rather. There's a priority. Much rather be in subjection. Oh, there we go. Subjection to God. Shouldn't we much rather? I mean, this is what it's all about. Son, I told you no. I told you not to do it. I told you if you do it, you're going to get a spanking. You did it. What does Daddy have to do? Forgive me. Oh, yeah. Boy, somebody wants it to happen back there. What does Daddy spank me? Yes. And that's what God says. But what's the whole idea? I said no, and you did it. Or I said do it, and you didn't do it. What's the whole idea? God, I submit to you. It's subjection. That's what it says. Yeah. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Priority. Subjection to Him, that's the best thing for me. Do you understand the song? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. That's what I'm prone. I get pulled there that often, too often. But see, shouldn't I? What's best for me? Well, subjection. Oh, we don't like it. We want to do our own thing. We think we're better off to be left to ourselves. We think, said the lamb that fell off the cliff. Oh boy, I'm going to have fun, said the prodigal. Oh boy, I'm going to have a good time. Got all my money. I'm going to have a great time, said the prodigal. Just a few days before he's in the pig pen eating what the pigs wouldn't eat. But there's a priority that is the objective of chasing, and that is that I subject myself. I come to submission to my Father. Amen. Because there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And any time you and I try to go off on our own way, we're headed for trouble. Priority is an objective. Number two is profit. Notice in verse 10 it says, they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit. From one who knows the future, He chastens us for our profit. And again, how many times do we come to that fork in the road and we're not real sure what's at the end of that or that, but He says, go this way, and we go this way. And He says, okay, I'm going to have to get you back over here. Because I know what's at the end of that road and the end of that road. And that profit is something we ought to be excited about. And we should just let Him lead. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we ought to just let Him lead. But every one of us has a tough time sometimes because we get pulled the wrong way. And a loving Father has to deal with us. 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So that's profit for the future, that which is to come. You know, every one of we've experienced things as a child. We learned some things. We went through some tough times that helped us prepare for when we were older and helped us make better decisions in the future. Well, how about a father who knows the future? objective of chastening, priority, prophet, and that we be partakers is in verse 10, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, I've been talking about it a lot. I'm not going to rant and rave about it, honestly, but I'm so sick and tired of the anti-holiness campaign of churches nowadays. Like there's something wrong with holiness. The Bible talks about the beauty of holiness. It is beautiful. It is wonderful. There's nothing better than holiness. We just don't like it because it infringes on our fun. And it infringes on our flesh. It's the best thing for our future. Amen. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Well, that was the Garden of Eden before sin. It is beautiful and holy and righteous. So many today are trying to influence people away from holiness like it's bad. And they use words like, yeah, but this feels good. Don't ever let your feelings replace God's holiness. It's not even a good comparison. It's not ever close that our flesh or our feelings would ever, ever even compete with the holiness and the beauty of the holiness of God Almighty. Isaiah looked at his holiness and he said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. And so what he did is he started his own church. And took out all the holiness and all the righteousness and said, we'll just do our own thing. And he felt real good. Till one day when he faces God. I'm going to tell you, folks, the beauty of holiness. It works in marriage. It works in family. It works in church. It works in your life. And our God, he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. And as he chastens us and drives that foolishness out of our heart. Oh, let me tell you, we're getting closer and closer. There's nothing better than his holiness. And so there's the objective is priority and profit and partakers of his holiness. And of course, peace, verse 11 says, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. That's true. You know, a child's getting spanked and you look down and say, how's the joy of the Lord in your life right now? And they're just screaming. You know, it's just not. And as a Christian, when I'm being chastened, it's not a joyous occasion at the time. It can involve health or finance or relationship or any number of things that are just not, they're not pleasant. But it does go on, says this, it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so there's peace. And the result of doing right is always peace. You do right, and you don't wake up in the middle of the night trembling. Oh, I'm really nervous. I did right. You're not looking over your shoulder. I did right, and I'm concerned. I might get in trouble. When's the times we were nervous? When's the times that we see a police car and we get nervous? When we're speeding. I bet you do. But... You know, what? When's the time? I mean, I don't know if you ever, you know, don't raise your hand if you broke the law or anything, but I mean, you're a little nervous, you know? But when you do right, I remember as a teenager, I'd run with a crowd, and I'm thinking of one group of friends that I ran with, and every time, you know, we'd be in a group, and they'd see a police car, and they'd all go, hide! And I'd go, why? Why are we hiding? There's nothing wrong with him. Oh, the fuzz. Remember the fuzz? You know, watch out for the fuzz. But I have no idea where that comes from. But when you do right, you don't have to worry about that. Amen? You know, you get a call from IRS. Have you done right? Well, you don't have to worry about anything. They just want more money. That's all. The objective of chastening, priority, profit, being partakers of his holiness and peace. The last thing, number four, is the outcome. The outcome of chastening. Number one, I talked about the origin of chastening. Number two, the obligation of chastening. Number three, the objective of chastening. And number four is the outcome of chastening, because there's always two outcomes. There's nothing in between, just two outcomes, all right? Number one is to be better. That's the way it's supposed to be, to be better. That's the right response. God working on me so he can work in me. Amen. That's to be better. Now, what's that involve? Number one, it involves attitude. Verse 5, very, very clearly, my son, despise not. Despise not. Amen. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Nor faint. Okay? Deep down, come on, deep down, attitude. Deep down, I knew it was coming. Deep down, I knew that I broke the law. Deep down, I knew that I broke his word. I broke his command. I didn't do what he told me to do, or I did what he said not to do. Whatever it was, I knew. Deep down, I knew it was coming. Mom would say this. She'd say, son, go to your room. Your father will be there soon. And I knew Dad wasn't coming with Twinkies. I still remember the foolishness as a child of stuffing things in my back pockets. I remember stuffing crayons in my back pockets. I remember one time, I have no idea what came over me, but I thought it was a great idea. I put scissors in my back pocket. Talk about foolishness needing driven out. But I knew what was coming. Why? Because I knew what I did. I remember the year that my sister and I were fighting, and we were running around, and we were fighting, and we knocked over the Christmas tree. And all of Mom's antique ornaments were on that tree. And then they were in pieces on the floor. And I knew what was coming. Are you listening? I mean, okay, so what should my attitude? Well, I don't deserve this. Come on. You knew it was coming. You know you deserve it. And you know why. That's the right response so that you're better. That's the right response so that you can say, you know what, God, I know what I did wrong. Now teach me. Teach me to do right. And sin stings. Does it ever? Always. Attitude. Another way to be better is acceptance. Verse 11, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Yeah, that's right. Nevertheless, afterward. The only good thing I remember as a child about spankings is when it was over. That's the only good thing. I mean, Dad used to beat the Mom, I used to say, Mom, why don't you go ahead and do it? Dad is just bad. Just never. But I remember afterwards, acceptance. You know what? It's afterwards is going to come. And the best way, again, so that it's better outcome is to recognize, wow, I'm glad that's over with, and I'm glad my God loves me. Acceptance. And then another way for it to be better is the application, because in verse 12, you know, verse 11 ends with this, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Exercised. Well, he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. I love that. That's so good. What do you mean? It means get up and heal from it. God's chastening. It's not like a paddling. It's a little different. And sometimes the result is, our hands are hanging down. Our knees are feeble. We're weak. We've been hurt. We've been affected. Could be our finances. Could be our health. Could be our family. Could be something broke in the house. Whatever. He says, just get up, though, and exercise. Get up. Get up and heal. I've learned my lesson. Now, God, help me never to do it again. That's better. Two outcomes. One is better. The other is bitter. Verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Failing of the grace of God. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. It's hardly, because you can't lose your salvation. What's it mean? Well, see, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And the truth of the matter is, chastening is all the grace of God. I wish you'd understand, folks, that God chastens us out of love. And he takes the time to deal with us as a father deals with his child. I wish you'd understand, a good spanking, the right spanking, and I've said this for many, many years, it just takes time. It takes time. I'm not talking about where you whack your child and tell them to get lost. I'm talking about where you sit down, you talk to them and say, do you know what you did wrong? Do you know what God says about what you did? It's wrong. Do you understand why Daddy has to spank you now? Do you understand why I can't let you get away with that? Do you understand? Are you sorry? You know? It takes time. I think of some of the chastening times that God's had to do in my life. And it just seemed like God was loving me, not hating me. It just seemed like God was taking all that time for me. And I felt his love. Because that's the grace of God. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, lest any man fail of the... In other words, God hates me. That's why he's doing it. God doesn't care about me. That's why he's doing it. God wants to hurt me. That's why you miss the grace of God. You took something that was absolutely lovely and loving, and you made it something that it's not. And you're headed for bitterness. Because we don't deserve his love. We don't deserve any of it. But we have it. We don't deserve his attention. But we have it. To fail of the grace of God is not accepted as grace and as love. And why wouldn't we do that? Well, doesn't he know who I am? Oh, I guess you don't know who you are. James 4, verse 6 says this, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And you know the person that bucks up against God, and they look at God and say, you know what? You hate me, and you don't care about me, and you let this happen to me because you don't love me, and you don't. You know, you're going to get bitter instead of better, and you missed it. Instead of better being the result, bitter's the result. The Bible calls it this, lest any root. I'm going to tell you one of the scariest things in the world is when a root of bitterness springs up in a person. Notice what it says, springing up trouble you. How many of you, you know somebody who's bitter. I know people that are bitter. I'm telling you, it's like hell has somehow infiltrated them. It is as nasty as anything, and I don't even know all of it. I just can see what's on their face. A root of bitterness. Oh, how many people you knock on their door. Hey, we're from Berean Baptist Church. If you died today, do you know for sure? Oh, I got saved years ago, but God did this. God took my, and you name whatever. God, I lost my job. My grandma died. So and so, I prayed and this, and boy, you can just see it. It's like hate. It's anger. I'm not going to church. No way I would go to church. And you know what? They missed out on the grace of God and what God had for them. And instead of being better, they became bitter. I hope there's no one here like that. If there is, the altar is here. And you ought to get on the altar and beg God to forgive that sin. And let God be God in your life. Because I'll be honest with you, according to the scripture here, and thereby many be defiled, that bitterness is worse than the original chastening ever thought to be. That bitterness, that hatred, that anger is worse, and your life is defiled. The outcome of chastening, it's up to us. How are you going to take it? God has made it so clear. And again, I'm so frustrated with religion today. I'm so frustrated with this anti-holiness and anti-chastening God and you know, do your own thing and God doesn't care. I'm so frustrated because people get the idea when they're chastened, it's all God's fault instead of a loving God saying, hey, I want you to get back on the right path. I want you to read your Bible. I want you to pray. I want you to go to church. I want you to tithe. I want you to obey me. I want you to keep the rules. Amen. Oh, we don't talk about rules. Oh, that's wrong, wrong, wrong. What in the world do you think this thing is? What do you suppose Moses went up on Mount Sinai? What was that all about anyway? I understand Jesus had to die on the cross because we couldn't keep the rules. But that doesn't excuse us from them. The Bible still says the law of the Lord's perfect, converting the soul. So if I want my soul to be what God wants, if I want the beauty of holiness, I'm going to have to let God every now and then whack me. Amen. And I'm going to say, thank you, God, for being my God and loving me enough to chasten me. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.